Well, church, good morning. Let's just start off by saying happy Mother's Day. I mean, certainly a wonderful day, a great opportunity for us to celebrate our moms. And it's certainly not the normal. It's certainly not what our expectations as oftentimes the past several of these types of holidays have been for us. But nonetheless, I do think this is a great opportunity to be reminded about how important and special our moms are. I know in our house, this season has definitely put a lot of unique challenges and pressures upon Karen, and so I know that's true for a lot of you dealing with homeschool and entertaining your kids, and some of you are dealing with jobs and families and meals and all those things, and you just all bear that weight. And so just pray a blessing upon you today. Pray that this is an encouragement to you, and really for you and for everybody else that's joining us. We want to welcome you this morning or this afternoon or whenever it is that you're watching or listening to this. We're glad that you're here. If you're a part of Central Christian Church or you're a part of the church, God's people, and you're listening in, we're certainly glad that you're present with us, and really pray that this is a blessing to you. And if you are not even a believer in Jesus Christ, we're glad you're here as well. And certainly want to pray, and our prayer is for you, that this is an encouragement to your heart, that the Lord might open your eyes to see Him in a new way, a unique way, that you would see His love. And certainly that's our hope for you, that you would be able to experience the joy and peace in Christ that He is so free to give. And so pray this is encouragement to you, and glad you're here. Before we jump into our text this morning and talk about what we're wanting to talk about today, I just wanted a couple of announcements. One is a really exciting one. If you haven't heard already, we are in the process of looking at reopening and what that looks like for Central. And so I'm not going to give you a ton of details today, but I do want to get it on in your minds and kind of get that before you. So next Sunday, that's May 17th, we are going to, on a limited basis, reopen the sanctuary for physical worship. Now, what I mean by limited basis is that so that we can maintain all the proper social distancing that we have to and abide by all the CDC and KDHE restrictions and guidelines for making sure that things are safe. We're going to have to limit that first week to 400 people. And so that's going to be a first come, first serve basis. And so I want to encourage you to think about that. And if that's something that you feel like you want to participate on, certainly put that on your calendar. We are going to be at 9:30 a.m. And so we're going to live stream that service from the sanctuary at this time on Facebook and live.cc. So even if you can't be in the room, you can still participate with us and what's going on as we can continue to try to be the church together. Now, we're going to revisit those numbers every week and really look to what that is in the coming weeks. And on Wednesday of next week, you're going to be getting an email, a letter in the mail, as well as a video on all of our social medias to help explain a lot of the specifics, because I know there's a lot of questions. But nonetheless, we are so excited, and I hope you're excited that maybe by God's grace, this is kind of the light at the end of the tunnel. So be praying for that, praying for the leaders as we engage that this new season, as we start thinking about what it looks like to be able to regather together. So with that said, let me go ahead and move to our topic today. Moms, this is I really wanted to spend some time talking to you. Moms, prospective moms, women who may have never been physical mothers want to have an opportunity for to share some things with you. But I want to start off by just saying this, that if you aren't a mom and you're just a single woman, or maybe you haven't had a child yet, or maybe you don't know if you ever will, husbands, dads, listen, there's something in this for every single one of us today. And so I want to encourage you to stick through to the end, because even though we're talking about moms, there's a lot here for us as the people of God. And so I want to encourage you in that. And then I want to invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be reading two excerpts out of Luke chapter 2. The first one is going to be Luke chapter 2, verse 34 through 35, and the second one is verse 48 through 52. And so let me give you some background. This is right after, this is after Jesus is born, and his parents, Mary and Joseph, take him to the temple, and one of the prophets in the temple blesses Jesus, and this is a man named Simeon. And so that's the first thing that we're going to read. The second is after Jesus' mother and father take him to the temple when he's a little bit older, and they actually lose him. Interesting story if you want to read the whole thing. And when they find him, he says, I was in the house of the Lord. And that's just a description of what was going on in Mary's heart in that process. And so, church, if you would, go ahead and turn with me to Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 34 in that first context. Let me just read. And Simeon blessed them. Simeon was the prophet, and he said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Interesting prophecy, isn't it? That a sword would pierce the soul of Mary. Now we'll read verse 48 through 52 of the same chapter. And this is again after Mary and Joseph find Jesus after he had been in the temple. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And here's the key piece. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. Church, pray with me. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity we had to come to your word. Lord, we want to pray that you would just speak as an encouragement to your people. Pray that this would be an opportunity for us, as always, to respond in some way to your word, that we would not just be hearers of it, but we would be doers of your word. And so for all of us, men, women, mothers, fathers, regardless of where we are in our lives, we know that your word is always has something for us. And so I want to pray that, Lord, you would just encourage and help our eyes to be open to see what it is that you would have for us this morning, and our ears to be open for what you would want us to hear today. And so just pray all these things and give you this time. I ask that you would give us your favor, and we just ask all this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. So before I jump really specifically into the text itself and kind of why I chose those verses, real quick, let me just share my heart towards really the ladies that are listening to this, because I think there's something that's really important that I just wanted to acknowledge in kind of this moment that we have to gather together around the word and think about these things is really this, is that motherhood as a whole is a very multifaceted thing. You know, I think it's easy for us to think of mothers, and when we picture this in our heads, a lot of times we see the lady who's carrying a child in her arms, and there's babies running around all over her feet, and that's kind of the chaos we think of in terms of motherhood. And while that's absolutely part of it, it really is a deeper element to that. And I want to touch base on how deep that is before we really talk about what I think is important for us in this text. And so we certainly want to acknowledge that as we look at this, that while it's multifaceted, it certainly includes being a physical mother. So for those of you who are physical mothers, you've got kids of really any age, like you fit into this category, but it's not just that. I mean, some of you have had kids that have grown up, they've gone on, they've had their own kids, they've got their careers, they're no longer in your homes. Some of you are carrying the deep weight of a loss of a child as a mother, which is a hard thing to carry, especially on this day. Some of you are lamenting the fact that you desire kids, but you haven't, either you're not married yet, or maybe the Lord hasn't blessed you in that way just yet, and you're waiting on the Lord in that. And so regardless of where your heart is or where you are on that spectrum of physical motherhood and what your desire is, here's what I want you to see is God sees you. God's right there. God is present with you. And the things that we talk about in terms of motherhood, all of it today, I mean, that, it's for you, and he wants you to be encouraged in that space. Even if you've got those kids running around your ankles and you're walking through the difficulties of that every day. And so this is for you. But this is also for those of you who have adopted a child. Now, that's certainly a different experience. I mean, we know on our own lives that adopting a child is different for a mom. It comes with different sorrows, and it comes with different joys, certainly different challenges. Even the love that is experienced with that, you know, when you have your own child, it's a love that's just almost an instantaneous thing. But when you're adopting a child, that's a different experience. It's a love that's chosen. It's a love that you decide to grant and to give, a self-sacrificing spending of yourself on behalf of this child that you're bringing into your home. And so this is for you. And this is also for those of you who are foster mothers. Listen, what a beautiful thing to step into, that you mother these kids that are not yours. And not only are they not yours, they may never be yours. In fact, they have other families. And so you're ministering to families and you're ministering to siblings. And that has a whole new and different realm of difficulties and challenges. And so this is for you. But the part I wanted to really get to is it's not only for physical mothers or adopted mothers or for foster mothers. This is also for spiritual mothers. I want you to listen to a quote that I read in an article recently. Spiritual parenting is guiding someone less mature in the Christian faith towards maturity. It can be uncomfortable at times. It can be exhausting. It can be discouraging. And it can involve rejection. It can be costly, but it can also be full of great joy. That sounds a lot like physical motherhood, doesn't it? See, here's my point for saying this. Many of you are spiritually parenting countless people that you come in contact with every single day. You single women, you mothers, you who are retired and don't have kids, those of you who long to have kids but don't yet, doesn't mean that you haven't been called into this beautiful thing. And men, this is for us too, as physical fathers, but also spiritual fathers. We've all been called into this beautiful things. And so many of the things that apply to physical motherhood and fatherhood also apply to spiritual motherhood and fatherhood. And so even if you don't have a physical child, or maybe you don't know that you ever will, it doesn't mean that your value in the kingdom of God is any less. In fact, reality of it is, I just want to encourage you this morning, like your part in the purposes of God are unbelievably valued. And He smiles upon you. Maybe you've been called to a mission field to give birth to hundreds of spiritual kids. Maybe you've been called to care for your coworkers and to lead them to Christ. Like at the end of the day, your purpose and value is just as beautiful whether you're 12, 20, or 80 and have kids or don't, because you're all called to be spiritual mothers, just like we're all called to be spiritual fathers. And so spiritual parenting is such an important thing to be reminded of. And so even if you're 12 years old right now, you might be leading somebody who's a little bit less mature or further along in their faith than you are, and you might be actually in some ways mothering them in that. And so this is for all of us. Now, to Mary, with these categories in mind, as we think about Mary and we think about motherhood through her eyes, as we even think about a quote that I read just a minute ago, here's the other aspect that I want to focus in on today. Motherhood, whether it's physical or spiritual, is wrought with both joy and with pain. It's wrought with both joy and with pain. On one hand, we look at Mary and what her joy must have been. You know, the scripture that we read this morning says that all these things were, she treasured these things in her heart. I mean, if you ever just imagine what it is to have been communicated by an angel that this child is going to come, and then you watch this baby turn into a boy, and this boy turn into a young man, and this young man turn into a young adult, and then go on to do the ministry that he did. I mean, I can't even imagine the joy that would have been in Mary's heart. I can't imagine the joy in seeing him grow and step into things, and she's treasuring these things in our heart. And I think this is true for a lot of us. I think that you think about even spiritually, kids, what a beautiful thing it is if you have somebody you're walking with in the faith and they start to take steps of faith because you're walking along with them and you get to see that work itself out in their lives, how much joy that brings. Just real practically, I was thinking of a moment just literally, it was like a week ago, where this just worked itself out in our own home. We'd actually put Jade to bed, and there was a storm that came through here, and we were all sitting in the living room watching the storm, and we looked out our window, or actually just right here, and we saw a rainbow. And, you know, if you know Jade or you've been around, you know Jade has some visual impairments, and so we were curious to see if she would see the rainbow, and we just prayed, you know, God, just help her to see, be able to see the rainbow. And so I went and got Jade and picked her up and brought her out to the living room, and I said, hey, Jade, do you see what's there? And she looked really hard and was looking in the sky, and she said, yeah, it's a rainbow. And I'm telling you, like, you would have thought that my wife had won the lottery. Like, she got so much joy in this small little kind of victory or this experience that our daughter was being able to have that in a lot of ways we didn't know or think she'd ever be able to have. Like, this is the joy of spiritual parenting. It's the joy of physical parenting. And it's a beautiful thing. And so many of us miss the opportunity because we don't step into that. And we're not excited for that. And yet this is the calling that God has put upon so many of our lives. But while there is so much joy, while there's so much joy, we also recognize that there's also a lot of pain. There can be a lot of pain. I've often tried to put myself in Mary's shoes at the foot of the cross at the end of her son's life. And she's seen him do all these things. And here, this woman is watching her son being scourged and beaten and bloodied and made fun of and spit upon, knowing full well he's never done anything wrong, knowing full well he's never done anything to deserve these things. This little boy that she watched, like, this is the sword that was driven into her soul that Simeon, that he proclaimed, that he prophesied was going to happen. And just imagine the pain of watching her son literally nailed to a tree and hung on a tree. Like, this is the reality of, I think, any kind of motherhood or fatherhood, is spiritual or physical, is that not only is there joy, but there's a lot of pain that can come with that. And what a pain to her soul. So here's the reality. The greater the love, the greater the joy as you open yourself up to a child, like whether it's physical or it's a spiritual child, the greater chance of some of the deepest wounds to our souls that we're ever going to experience. And then some of you have experienced that. Some of you have experienced the loss of a child. Some of you have experienced what it is to walk with somebody in the Lord only to see them turn their back on Him later in their lives. And that is so unbelievably hard. Some of you have just seen those that you've walked with or those that you have parented either spiritually or physically experiencing the brokenness of this world, the betrayal and the wounds that come in this world. And it hurts us. It really does hurt us. And so here's one of the things I wanted to encourage. I wanted to not only acknowledge for all of us that in the midst of this is there great joy and the hope of great joy, and not only is there pain at times, that in the midst of those moments of joy and pain over the course of a lifetime, my encouragement is this for you, and I think for all of us, again, men, women, physical mothers, spiritual mothers, is that you would remain steadfast. That you would be steadfast, not only in your own faith as you lean into the strength of the Lord, but in a variety of other things. First, be steadfast in prayer. Pray for your children. Pray for your spiritual children. Pray for their spouses. Pray for wisdom so that you might know how to care for their souls, how you might know how to lead them, how you might even know how to discipline them. Be steadfast in prayer every day. Pray for their hearts to be protected. Pray that God would strengthen their faith. Pray that God would be a refuge for them. Pray for their spiritual good. And here's the hard part, even at the expense of their physical good. Like, are we willing to do that? I mean, see, as parents, this is the most important thing for us. Like, it doesn't really do us any good if our kids are perfectly wonderful and healthy if spiritually they're dying on the vine. Like, are we willing to pray for their spiritual good even at the expense of their physical good? That's really hard to do. It's really hard to do, especially in a culture that would say that we're to protect our kids at all costs, even if there's something in us that wonders if this is ultimately the best thing for us. See, in our home, I think about it for us, like, we pray all the time that the Lord would not ever allow my kids to have idols rooted into their hearts. And that prayer has led, and by God's grace, He's answered some of those prayers, and we've watched as God has not allowed those idols to remain in the lives of my kids, and that sometimes means He removes them, and that can be painful, but it is to their good. And so be steadfast during the seasons of joy and during the seasons of pain. Be steadfast in prayer, but also be steadfast in seeking discernment. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 14 says this, the heart of him or her who has understanding seeks knowledge. So in all of these seasons, be steadfast in the seeking of discernment. Seek to discern God's will for your life. Seek to discern God's will for your kids' life. Seek to discern God's will as you deal with the day-to-day challenges of discipline and how do you shepherd your kids. Like, seek to discern what he has called you to. And one of the key ways to do that, men, women, mothers, fathers, spiritual or physical, is to be in the Word of God. To seek to discern what he has called you to be. Thirdly, be steadfast in your love. And I don't mean, and I say this all the time, but I think it's important. I don't mean steadfast in your emotional love. I mean steadfast in a self-sacrificing, laying down of yourself kind of love. Man, that gets exhausting, doesn't it? Like to give of yourself over and over and over and over again, only to go to bed at night and get up in the morning and start it all over again. Whether that's your physical kids or whether it's your spiritual kids. And we certainly see it in our physical motherhoods and in our fatherhoods as we walk down that path. And it's a constant giving of ourselves. Be encouraged that as you love with patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control and humility, listening to what they have and listening to our hearts, the Lord can do mighty things through you in the life of those that you're shepherding, whether they're your physical kids or they're your spiritual kids. He can do mighty things in the life of someone who is willing to love with a steadfast kind of love in seasons of joy and in seasons of pain. Finally, mothers, I would encourage you, and again, fathers too, during both seasons of joy and seasons of pain, never, ever stop pursuing Jesus. Be steadfast in your pursuit of Jesus. Listen, you can point your kids, your spiritual kids or your physical kids, to every single book. You can point them to every single Pure Flix film that's out there. You can go to every IF gathering. You can take them to Sunday school and put them in Christian schools. And you can do all kinds of things. You can even help them memorize scriptures. And you can do all that stuff. You can help them avoid all the bad things and make sure they only listen to Light 99 or whatever the title is these days. Like, you can do all of those things. But at the end of the day, parents, spiritual and physical, they need to see you pursue Jesus. They need to see you pursue the heart of Christ. They need to see you pursue his presence, his will, his life, his word, his people, his lost sheep. This kind of faith works itself out in love. And this is the kind of faith that's going to lead those that you are shepherding, lead those that you're discipling, lead those kids to see Jesus, to desire Jesus. There's a text in Scripture. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and it's Paul writing to Timothy, and he's actually talking to Timothy about Timothy's grandmother and mother. Listen to what he says. 1 Timothy chapter 5, he says, I am reminded, this is Paul talking, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Great faith. What was passed on to Timothy by Lois and Eunice? Was it religion? That's not what it says. Was it knowledge? That's not what it says. Was it a good education? That's not what it says. Was it a subscription to Pure Flix? It's not what it says. Was it morals? That's not what it says. What was passed on to Timothy was faith. And the biblical definition of a faith that we see in James and we've talked about is a faith that lives itself out in action. Listen, one of the key takeaways that I would want you to walk away from this day for every single one of us, mothers, fathers, spiritual or physical, young people, whatever that is to simply say this: what or who are you pursuing? Like, you can say all day you love Jesus, but what are your kids, spiritual or physical, watching you pursue? What would they say you pursue? Would they say they pursue you pursue Jesus, or would they say that you pursue Netflix or a career or success? Would they say you pursue Jesus, or would they say that you pursue cars or sports? See, friends, it doesn't make any difference what we tell them. They're watching us. Do you want them to imitate your pursuits? Do you want them to imitate you? See, this is what Paul says. He says to Timothy, he says, imitate me. Look at me. Like, this is what it means to disciple. It's not as complicated as we make it sometimes. It's simply imitate me. The question is, do you want them to? Do you want them to imitate you? So, are you pursuing Jesus? How can you pursue Jesus more? Not religion, but Jesus. And how can they see that? And I hope that that's something you can take away. One last thing I want to say before we close, or as we close, motherhood should be exalted. It should absolutely be exalted. Men, like with Timothy, we are who we are, not only because of our physical mothers, but also because of our spiritual mothers. I was blessed with a godly woman that cared for me, and certainly, I know she would say she didn't do it perfectly, but nonetheless, I am who I am because of my mom. I am who I am because of how she poured into us, and some of the examples that she set. And it wasn't just my mom, but it was the godly women around my mom. It was the godly women within the church that poured into me. I think of Rhonda Mann, who taught me when I was in Sunday school class, or the Linda Lamps that were around as I was, as her husband Ross was a principal of the school and ultimately a pastor in the church and still is one of our elders. And I think of the Doris Howards, and many of you don't know these names, but Doris was a godly woman that even as a kid, I remember looking to her and she was pouring things into me all the time. So we are who we are because of the spiritual mothers and the physical mother that God grants us to. And so, man, like, we need to honor them as Scripture tells us to. I mean, Exodus 20:12, in the Ten Commandments, it says, honor your mother and your father. Are we seeking to honor them? Like, this is such an important thing for us. Let's not take for granted. Motherhood should be exalted. Let us also not forsake their teaching. You know, Proverbs 1:8 reminds us, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. What a great opportunity for us on a Mother's Day to pause and to think of those spiritual mothers, those physical mothers that were godly women that were trying to lead us to Christ, and to think to ourselves, like, have we forsaken their teaching? Again, they're not perfect. None of us are. But nonetheless, like, have we stepped away from their teaching? Have we stepped away from the things that they have tried to lead us into? Because here's what I can guess, is that many of our mothers, while they may not have been perfect in the things that they said and did, their heart was to lead us to Christ. And their heart was to lead us into life and to joy. And listen, it doesn't mean that you won't do things differently as a parent. It doesn't mean things you won't even do things differently as a discipler. But here's the thing. Like, they were trying to teach godly principles. And so let us think about it. Let's not forsake their teachings and repent if we have. And maybe this is for some of you who have even walked away from the Lord. And then finally, let us all take on the role of caring for our mothers as they get older. Something we don't think a lot about. Proverbs 23:22 reminds us to not despise any as they grow old. But may we love them well and lean into them as they near the kingdom of God. And so what a great privilege for us to lean into loving them well, even if they weren't your spiritual mother or physical mother. And so, church, on this Mother's Day, let us be reminded of all the mothers who have poured into our lives. Let us be reminded of all the things that they have taught us. Let us be reminded of the joys and the pain that come with that. Let us be reminded of really that key principle of one of those things, we must be steadfast to pursue Jesus Christ, whether you're a mother or a father, for physical kids or spiritual kids. And so, church, let me pray as we close, and then I want to actually lead us into communion. Father, I want to thank you for this day. Father, I want to take a moment to just thank you for our mothers. They give so much. And so many of them are not appreciated, and it's so easy not to, just because they're oftentimes just always there. And so, Father, I want to pray a blessing upon them. Father, I want to pray that you would give them strength to be steadfast in these things, strength to be praying mothers, strength to be discerning mothers, strength to be loving mothers, and strength to be mothers who pursue you while at the same time they love their kids, physical or spiritual, while they teach and they lead them forward. So, Father, may you provide that strength. And, Father, for all of us, men, women, young, old, Father, would you help us to be steadfast in these things as we pursue you? And may we all pursue you with a greater heart and a deeper passion in our lives. And I just pray all these things in your name. Amen. As we close, I want to just lead us in a time of communion. And I hope that this is something you've been doing in your homes. But I just thought this would be a great thing for us to do. And so as we enter into this time, I just want to remind us, even on this Mother's Day, that, you know, when we come to this table, we're reminded of the love of Christ. We're reminded that His love was stronger than death. His love was more important than His own good. And then it wasn't just His love for us, but His love for the Father. And when we come to this table, we're reminded that Christ, recognizing our sinness, our sinfulness, and our brokenness and rebellion, was willing to allow His body to be broken for us on our behalf, and His blood to be spilt for us on our behalf, that we might be considered blameless before the Father, that we might be reconciled to the Father, that we might be brought into the kingdom of God, and to be a part of a family. And to be a part of the family of God, one that we've lamented so much that we haven't been able to be together, and yet now it looks like we may start to be able to do that again. And so we come to this table reminded of that. And so I want to just lead us in that as we do that. And I hope in your homes, wherever that's at, you've had time to grab some, the bread or the juice in your own home. If not, feel free to do this in a few moments. But I just want to encourage you in this, that as you take this, to be reminded of the body of Christ, which was broken for you, and to be reminded of the blood of Christ that was spilled for you. And so, church, let's just take the communion of the Lord together and be reminded of the love of Christ that we as His people must abide in. Pray with me and we'll close. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Father, we only stand in your grace, in your unmerited favor. May you help us to rest in it. May you help us to abide in it in every aspect of our lives and every day, as we seek to be mothers, as we seek to be fathers, whether it's for physical kids or spiritual kids. Father, help us to abide in Christ. Thank you for your grace through Him. Thank you for His sacrifice that has bought for us salvation and deliverance. May we live lives of worship before you as a result. And I just pray all these things in your name. Amen. Church, God bless. Things will look a little different next week. Watch for all of those announcements coming out on Wednesday, and we hope that you have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.